Aloha Pods presents the Regular Guy Podcast with your host, Ryan Yamauchi.
I've seen tons of things on you. I follow you online and on Instagram and things. There seems to kind of was expecting the whole entire show to be on Netflix, so I thought it was, for the Japanese crowd, after this, I received, comments from a lot of performers that really, definitely changed my life, I got a chance, to visit, LA multiple times for live performances, and, LA has been the places I would definitely love to visit one day, I was saying, when I was little, and it's definitely a dream come true. We all age. Things age, and so I definitely changed my life. But at this point, spent 4 years, and what probably would make it to where I am at this point, right?
So there's just a little bit of both, right? There's a little bit of hesitance to, I'm not just that guy on the show anymore, but really your knowledge that without it, maybe you wouldn't be where you are today.
Sure. Yes.
So when we first met you, and admittedly for me, I just watched Terrace House during quarantine. I was turned on to it by a friend that never heard of it, which again, where I'm amazed at, because I'm always watching stuff online or on TV. I'm kind of a TV junkie. And I was hooked. Terrace House was so simple in what it was, that it was almost about nothing, but it was about something. So, I don't know, Seinfeld was big for me because I'm an old head. Seinfeld was big for me. That was fabulous, a show about nothing. And I kind of felt very similarly. It was stylish, right? I mean, the colors were great. The way it was filmed was great. And I was hooked. I binge watched your whole the Lost State series.
Wow.
I think it took me like 2 or 3 days. Maybe not that long. Things that crazy. I think that we talked about it a little earlier. I'm a kid of the 90s. Okay, I was a kid of the 90s, but I lived in the 90s. That's when reality TV first got pretty big with the Real World and MTV. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of resonated with me, and I loved it. But one of the things that I didn't get from it, that I hope you can expand on a little bit today, is kind of your backstory, right? Because we saw you when you entered the house, but didn't know much about you. One of the things that I'm amazed at is how good your English is. Because when anybody meets you, you think that you're a doctor, but you're not. When did you move to Hawaii?
I was 14 years old, so it's technically after 7th grade. And I was born and raised in Tokyo, Japan. And I'll talk about my family. My mom is from Inner Mongolia. My dad.
Let me stop real quick. My mom's from Inner Mongolia.
Inner Mongolia. Yes.
That's not the new one for me.
So, my dad is Japanese American. He's Japanese American. Originally from Portland, Oregon. And they've basically met in Japan. So,
what was your dad doing in Japan? Or what was that? How did that take place? Like, how did they meet?
My mom was studying for medical. She was traveling. Get the master's degree. My dad worked for NHK for 18 years.
Okay. And I believe that's the TV station in Japan.
Yeah, okay. So like after he also did voice acting for business English. So he taught a lot of my students.
Oh, so the creative artistic design. So you owe all your creativity to your father.
Well, definitely something that's common is that my parents love music, love listening to music. So, that's why listen to, while growing up, artists just like Michael Jackson.
So, now you talk about stuff that's kind of
So, yes. So, I moved out to Hawaii when I was 14. But I've never visited Hawaii.
You've never been here before when your family, guys are moving to Hawaii. Sure. And did you actually speak English then? Also, did your father speak English to you?
I understood what he was saying.
it's bad. But really, one thing I've learned after moving out to Hawaii is that it really made me open-minded. You know, everyone is so different. Now, for example, like, you know, I have friends, same classmates from different countries, from mainland, you know, and everyone has a different background, and that, you know, making those friends definitely changed me as a person, of course, but also really made me open-minded.
Culturally, it's different, though, right? I mean, Japanese culture is a little bit more formal, would you say? A little bit more conservative in some ways.
Yes.
And so you're walking around, you're here in Hawaii, you're a white guy, you're a organizer. There's tons of people who physically look like you, right? I mean, you know, there's tons of local Japanese people that are here.
Yep.
But they open their mouths, and their customs and their style, it's completely different, right? So how did you adjust?
Because what I've done is that I've actually went to a local middle school for 1 month.
I'm geographically profiling here, but you know, thanks to New Valley.
So New Valley for 1 month and summer break of our 3 months or so. And Kaiser after that. So for the first couple of years, what I've done is I definitely had this electronic public Siri.
Okay.
So we have Siri now.
Some biases that people go through, right? When people move to new places, it's
sure.
Really cool to know that when you came here in high school, it's a hard enough time, right? It's a hard enough time in your life transitioning into the high school age that you move to a new place, maybe not speak the language. That's awesome to know that it was so good. You know, they acclimated so well, and the community embraced you so much. So you're at Kaiser. You're probably like a sophomore or a junior at the time, and you go, you know what? I'm going to sign up. Of security in yourself and your talent come from. Because you have to have, right? You're putting yourself out there all the time. When you're playing in front of people, you're performing, I'm sure there's some nerves, but where does that come from you? When did you get it? When did you know that you not only wanted to do this, but you had what it took to get out in front of all these people and perform?
All I can say is, I'm going to let them out. Just Christ has, they fully supported me. I started singing when I was five or something, so I had a lot of chances I could be on the stage. And I love music, but at the same time, I love to make people smile, put them in the positive mood. So,
do you remember the first time you picked up the violin?
I remember from high school. At the time, I was playing the acoustic guitar for a year, and I love Hawaii, and I play the guitar, so why not just, start playing the ukulele?
And what was it about it that, you said to yourself, when kids growing up, right, I want to be a fireman, I want to be a police officer, I want to be a professional football player, at what time did you go, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to do with my life?
Since I was, I've tried a lot of different stuff too also, but, always music has been the thing that I was really, into. For example, as a hobby, that's something that I'm truly passionate about, and that's something that really kept me going.
For me, I've got zero music skills. I've got no musical skills whatsoever, so I'm always fascinated by people's ability. Do you think, you're saying at one time you're practicing 5, 6, 7 hours a day. This is really just been your life. How much of it is natural? How much of it do you feel like you actually have a gift for this versus it's learned and it's just anybody can do it? Because, again, I don't feel like I can do it. I can do it 20 hours a day. I've got no musical skills whatsoever, and you want me to sing you. So, how much of it is just, it's natural, it's your gift.
I'm not really actually concerned, but I'm just super, honored, and that's whatever people tells me. But as soon as I learned the basics, I started, self-teaching myself. I'm already self-taught. After learning the basic chords and stuff, I've quite for acoustic guitar and C for ukulele as well. I certainly just play around by watching YouTube videos.
But you have a professional teacher?
Not the whole time.
Really?
Yes.
Come on.
But I believe that, everyone is special in their own way. Since I was little, and it's not shared by other artists, but it's my way to express my message to people that's listening. And when I was really getting into those instrumental stuff, what I love about it is that it's basically songs without lyrics, but you can hear the message. Yeah.
earnestly about, you know, like how the show and relationship life is now after the show appearance. I had a chance to be a part of the important label that I'm currently an indie artist, but you know, this past 4 years I've learned a lot. And you know, just while growing up, but at the same time, you know, meeting those like new people, so many, you know, people, and just everything could be an inspiration for me, and that inspiration could definitely make you more mature, more well experienced.
Yeah, I think life experience is the greatest teacher. Do you tend to write about what you see more or what you feel more?
It could be anything. It could be anything. A lot of my instrumental songs that really inspired me a lot after moving out to Hawaii, because it's the environment is so different from where I grew up in Tokyo. But for example, when I've never released, you have seen some stars like in the sky in Tokyo, because like, you know, there's like a bunch of buildings, so many lights during nighttime. So that's what they really moved me after moving out to Hawaii, because there's like so many beautiful stars in the sky. So
it's amazing. It's not something we take for granted, right? Because I grew up here, and you know, obviously, you know, we live in a beautiful state, but you do take it for granted, right? Because you see it all the time. And I think similarly for me, if I were to go to Tokyo, the lights, the buildings, it would be very foreign to me because we just don't have it here, right? So I guess the stars for you. So that's something that you experience, and then how do you take that? How do you take that and put it to paper? How do you
get
that with music?
I believe that it changes to emotions, or some emotion aspect. It's kind of hard to explain, but it can also you know, be something about what you feel from it. Views, you know, new people, experiences, your feelings, emotions. And just play around with the instrument is definitely the start of how I start.
Are you always writing? And are you writing 4, 5, 10 pieces at a time? Or do you write one at a time?
Oh, one at the time.
Really?
For most of the time.
Yeah. So, like, one of the things I've been doing during COVID is I've been walking a lot, right? So I live up by Catalyst, and I walk up and down Catalyst for exercise. I have time to kind of just think. So I'm always writing, and I write on my phone. So I've got multiple different stories or things that I'm writing them all at the same time. Because different thoughts pop into your head at different times, right? So you're always thinking about different things. I can't imagine what it would be like to just write one song. Or work on one thing, because I'm always thinking about different things. How do you balance that in your head?
It really depends, but when I'm actually, you know, working on the song, if it's like an instrumental, or if it's a singing song, you know, a vocal song, I'll definitely write it down on paper. If you have seen the show, well, you probably remember that yellow in my book, so I write all down. But for instrumental songs, I tend to like it in my brain, tend to create this little short story with the words or without the words, how I want to start the song, how I want to end the song. So as soon as I'm down, you know, I know what kind of story. Yes, exactly. So, yeah, I can move on. So,
that's awesome. The creative process, I think, for me is something that's completely unknown to me. Right? I don't understand it. I don't know how it works. I think I often have random thoughts in my head, and that's why I'm always writing down notes. So, how to formulate and how to put it together for me, and then when it comes out with one of your songs and some of your music, I wouldn't know how to get it from like A to Z, right? I think I get from like A to C, and somebody would need to take it from there. What's
some of the things that you're thinking about today that's inspiring your current music?
You know, definitely the current situation is a huge inspiration for me and for a lot of artists, you know. And it's, like in a positive way, it's something that I've never really experienced. You know, most of my time, a lot with my family, and this situation has been really a huge inspiration.
Have you been on island for the whole of COVID since like March? Have you been here? Have you traveled at all since March?
I've traveled once to Hawaii, back to the school, for LA, and I've done this cover song. I've actually done covering an anime song. The first song I've heard the public. It's a digital cover of Butterfly, this guy, Curfew, shared. I'm a huge fan of him, and he has a lot of cover songs on YouTube.
Yep.
And I've seen this now. He contacted me first on email, and that really shocked me. Sometimes I kind of look back to obviously my videos because I think it's still out there, but my parents used to record and film me.
Historical for me, right? It's like I can hear a note, I can hear a song, and it takes me back in time to when it was relevant, right? So that's why I think music holds a special place for me. You know, you can smell things, you can taste things, you can feel things by one note, and that's, but it's almost always historical for me, right? And that's where I think a lot of music comes from.
I can totally agree, you know, sort of like triggers your memory.
Definitely. And you know, it's funny because, like, I've got, you know, my kids are around their age. I've got a high school senior and a junior in college. And my thing for them is always what's old is new, right? It's everything retro, it's going to come back. And, you know, and I always tell, like, listen to a song. I go, hey, I sampled from this, and it was from, it's an old song. And they hate listening to stuff that I listen to. I actually probably like listening to more of their contemporary stuff than they like listening to my old stuff. But that's just kids, I suppose. But it's like, you know, for me, I don't know how to create it. Like, I don't know how to create the music that triggers that. I don't have any idea how to create it. But the music that's important to me has to be something that triggers it in my head, right? You know, and that's, I think, why I love music. And maybe it's why I listen to a lot of contemporary stuff I do. Stuff that comes out that's new, I listen to. I think partly because I'm surrounded by kids who are listening to it all the time. And so it's all right. You know, it's all right. But it doesn't move me the same way that stuff, you know, maybe a little.
music generation has, you know, their own tastes in them. And I think, you know, again, it's really, it gets, you know, being open-minded and, you know, listen to different types of music. Interestingly, I love both of them. Like, I love some real music because all of my parents used to listen. And some of the new music, too. And some music may not have some lyrics attached. So it could be anything. It could be really anything. But it's, I think it's kind of because that's really powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, it definitely has a huge impact.
Definitely. Maybe one day you're going to create something that when you hear it, it's going to make me think of those things, too. I hope that you have that impact on that.
That's my hope.
And I think one of the things that I think about for people in your business, not that I think about it often or I know a lot of people in their business, but the definition of making, right? So, you know, you're growing up and you're using it, you say, okay, I want to be a doctor or I want to be a lawyer and whatever else, right? I mean, there's some pretty mainstream types of professions that are out there. Easy to quantify, right? Put it in a box. We know how to measure success. How can you measure your success?
Success, I feel like it's never ending to reach a higher level.
No. It's because you have to quantify it, right? Because if you're on the journey and you're doing it, and then you're on your mom's couch, and your mom looks at you and goes, hey man, maybe it's time to get a job. Because maybe this music thing isn't paying the bills that you want it the way that you want it to. Is there any definition that you look at? Any kind of definitive thing that says, I need to make an X amount of dollars by a certain day, I need to be signed by a certain day, and music will be a passion of mine, it'll be a hobby, but I've got to do something else. Or is this just the journey? And you're going to take it as long as it takes you because this is your life.
It's my journey. So, you know, whatever it takes, I will do my best. And it's definitely risky.
Because, right, I mean, there's no guarantees. There's no school for it. There's no degree that you get. You go, hey, once I get this degree, I've made it. It's ongoing.
It's one thing I did not want to regret. The fact that after, you know, like 20 years or 30 years later, like, I don't want to regret that I took enough risk for music, so I will do whatever I can.
That's awesome. I mean, has the thought ever entered your mind that maybe, that this isn't your future? Or are you committed and you've always been committed and you know that this is what it's going to be?
It always has been. Mm-hmm. For music, but for acoustic and collaborative stuff, acoustic stuff, has been since the competition brought me to start and book it since high school. And that kind of like shaped me more of sort of like music artists. And I want to like, you know, try, you know, different kinds of music to really challenge myself and to reach more people's heart.
And you're making a living at this. This is a job. It's a career.
It's some sort of like unstable. Sometimes, but it's, you know, definitely got to love it, whatever you're doing at the moment, and I'm sure I'm loving it, so
that's awesome. I know social media has become a core part of art in general, but a core part of who you are as well. How has social media enabled you to shape who you are, your music, your reach, your brand? What does social media mean to you?
Social media is definitely the easiest way to, you know, share what you've been up to, share your piece, share your art, music, to lots of people. When I started off creating my original songs, I remember posting a bunch of really random videos of me playing the guitar on Facebook, and I remember how happy I was receiving, like, those few comments, just two or three comments, for my high school classmates.
Yeah.
this a little sore. My Instagram popped up. Yeah. And did it start, as soon as it appeared. But yeah, Instagram, YouTube, a lot of social media has grown for me as a platform to share my music.
That's a pretty crowded space, though, wouldn't you say? I mean, there's lots of people out there who are using these platforms and kind of expose themselves to people out there. You recently started working with a company called High Connect Studios, is that right?
Yes.
So, tell me a little bit about your relationship with them.
It's recently, actually. But no price, and I heard that he was your guest.
Yeah, I had a question on.
I've actually never met him in person before. He just contacted me through email about
High Connect. You never met him in person?
No.
That's unbelievable. That's digital for you. That's this virtual world that we're living in. Well, when you do meet him, because Bryson's, you mentioned he was on our show before. Bryson's an awesome guy. I think one of the things that I find that you and he share in common is you're super passionate about what you're doing and you're super humble about your success, which is awesome. I think that when you are able to do that, kind of stay grounded and you still be successful, that's really an amazing accomplishment. Is High Connect Studios, you're putting you in touch with different businesses. I know that you're working with Uniqlo now, is that right?
I've done a ton of posts with Uniqlo.
What was that like, and how does that work?
It's like a giveaway post. So whoever comments, just choose randomly one person, and the person will get $100 gift card.
Yeah.
So I've done that, and that's really fun. I've never done a giveaway before. I'm super glad to, get connected with that person. It's like I know how he's super passionate about what he's doing, and I do for him. I mean, even though I never met him, I have full trust on what he's been up to.
He's a really good guy. So the term influencer has become, part of this generation.
For others, but I've come out. I remember I was really, really bummed the fact that I remember I had some gigs in LA. Everything was canceled this year, and I did not know what to do. But I started streaming actually, and I've done this crazy thing called 100 days streaming on Facebook and Instagram every day.
I was like, that sounds a lot out of the ordinary for this.
also released a new single recently called Beautiful Girl. That was like a little shot of the music video. I've reached out to multiple fans, friends, family.
And now, the starting five. We'll be right back.
song called Remember the Time.
Yeah.
And it's so inspiring. It's, you know, it's fun to watch. Some music videos can be really emotional. And it has a really strong message behind. And,
my dad did,
yeah,
before.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, something special. It was, like I said, it was on my list too. Unfortunately, you took them. So you got Tronic number one, Michael Jackson number two.
Mm-hmm.
I got Public Enemy number one, and I got New Edition number two.
Do you know who New Edition is?
I can say no, because I expected you not to,
but now I'm giving you two new people to put on your Spotify
playlist that you can listen to.
New Edition.
One of the original boy bands, in the early 80s,
out of
Boston,
and,
you know, Bobby Brown is?
Yes.
Bobby Brown was one of the original members of New Edition.
So,
New Edition was this R&B pop group that I think changed music.
And for me, it's generational,
right? It was,
like the question I asked you about stuff you had written earlier, so Candy Girl, Miss Telephone Man, stuff that came out,
that they put out in their youth,
all the way through
what I consider the best genre of music in my lifetime is New Jack Swing. So I think they kind of evolved with New Jack Swing in the early 90s, and New Edition is, to me, a staple. I kind of have it on my playlist.
So
you're looking at faces again. Ryan, you're crazy. I have no idea what you're talking about, which is good.
It's not even part of Spotify playlist when you listen to it today. You know, I get it.
Definitely will search out every song.
There you go.
Shall I get it in addition here?
So that's it for you. Which is question number 30.
So it's really random.
But I'll just go with,
I don't like no one around me talks about this artist, but
not about these things, but
I'll tell you what.
Really?
Okay.
So
this, you know, is far more, this is far more surprising to me
than trying to.
But go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I don't know
too much about hip hop, but
I love listening to hip hop.
And,
specifically songs like,
again, I've been listening to
his music
since
like high school days
or something.
There's like something about his like melody lines
that kind of like stuck.
It has like a hook.
You know, so now.
First one
is
Alec Boofer, which, you know, I don't know if I've mixed dates. You've got no mixed dates, you didn't have no mixed dates.
Well, I mean,
soundtrack, right? It's kind of cheesy, but it's there. It's gonna stick with me forever. It was like, that was like 92, 93 ish. It was kind of groundbreaking. You had mentioned that you have a dream about acting in and maybe scoring a movie one day.
That was really amazing.
So this was her, you know, this was her coming out party, I think, on screen. And the story was that I had a family member who passed away. The bodyguard soundtrack, which you listen to all the time. So it's just one of those things that's always stuck with me. So I'll stick with Whitney Houston as my number four. And then number five pick is the last one. Remember, this is the last one. Stuck on an Island. This is the last artist you get.
So five artists, my last artist is going to be Ella May.
Ella May.
She's
an
R&B singer. And I also love to listen. Some of the R&B stuff too, and you know what it is. You gotta be in a right mood, but when you're in a right mood, it's
so I agree.
I think it's in your top five list. You gotta have something for almost every mood you're gonna be in.
Alright, so kind of both Michael Jackson, Fetty Wap, I can be in L.A. after
five.
Stuff. I don't know how you keep Tupac off that list. He had a really, really short career, but it was bright. I mean, I think that he was supernova-ish. He did the movie thing, you know, he did the mainstream thing. It would have been interesting to see what he would have been like in the BLM movement, right? Not because that was his thing, right? He was Black Panther, where his mother came from. It would have been interesting his music. I think he bent it well. He did some top 40-ish stuff. He had that. He had some club stuff. He had some heavier stuff. I think he was original. And he's somebody that lasts. So he put his stuff on today for me. And again, we rattled off a couple of names in the club, so I didn't know so much. We love hip hop. Some guys are timeless. I think Tupac for me is timeless.
Yeah, I respect that.
So Public Enemy, New Edition, The Cure, Whitney Houston, and Tupac. Versus Charlie Puth, Michael Jackson, Fetty Wap, Andy McKee, and LMA. We're not living on the same island. We're not living on the same island as we were. And we're going to share our playlist. I think we've got stuff coming. Awesome. This has been an unbelievable time, man. I really appreciate you coming in. This is the last show that we're going to be doing this year. And having you here. And if you like, before we leave, tell us where we can find you. social media, but I also have a website. It's nadei.com, nadeikai.com.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to put us out? Put us out with a little something?
Sure.
Yeah, let's go.
Sure.
That's it. I have a collab with me. First intro song that I played is a part of an instrumental song called
You've been listening to the Regular Guy Podcast. If you would like to inquire or send your podcast to Aloha Pods, contact Summit Media Hawaii LLC at 808-275-1000 or send us an email at alohapods.com.